Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Today is Sunday, September 30th, 2018, about a week away, 6 days away from WWE Super Show taking place in Saudi Arabia. And of course, the 30 other pay-per-views WWE has going on concurrently, trying to promote all at once. Let me make sure I say this correctly. The first ever all-women's pay-per-view, WWE Evolution. Got to make sure I say that. I can't just say WWE Evolution. I have to make sure I let everyone know every single time I say the name of the pay-per-view exactly what it means and how much history this is going to make. Yeah. Don't get me started. Don't worry, folks. There is a big rant coming down the line. This one I can't contain. And no, it is not Roman Reigns based, although I will touch on his segments on Monday Night Raw. Again, welcome to the show. You can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. I'm also on iTunes, which is now rebranded as Apple Podcasts. I'm on Spreaker. I'm on Spotify and probably most podcast apps that you have. So I'd appreciate a follow, a subscribe, maybe even, if you have some time, a 5-star review. Yeah, how about that? I really would appreciate that, though. It exponentially helps out the show. I've also got some feedback lately on the audio of my show. Things have been inconsistent. My apologies. So I'm working on that, and hopefully this show is a reflection of my efforts on making sure that the audio quality is as good as it could possibly be. Not too loud, not too soft, and is pleasing your eardrums right now. So thank you again for joining me. One thing I want to touch on, the first thing that comes to my mind, and as you guys know, I used to do a weekly review of every show, every segment. Don't have the time. So I touch on things that I'm very passionate about on the shows, things that stick out to me. And one thing that sticks out to me is on SmackDown Live this past week with AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. And let me just preface my opinion by saying I really am enjoying this program as a whole. I think that it has been doing a very good job in terms of believability and in terms of Joe really stepping up. Joe has really stepped up over the last few weeks, a month and more now, since he's began this program with Styles. He's believable. He's a great, true heel. He is one of the very few true heels in WWE. He gets it. He knows his character. He is great on the mic when he is calm, cool, collected, cynical, evil. That is when Joe's at his best, not screaming and yelling. And Joe has been exactly that, calm, cool, collected, just vile human being on SmackDown Live over the past few weeks. And I'm loving it, him taunting Styles' family. Their matches have been very good. I wouldn't say blow away, but very good. I expect them to get even better as they continue to work with each other on subsequent shows. I don't think this program is going to end at Super Showdown. I think we have at least one more pay-per-view to go, especially if Joe wins here. AJ gets his rematch, as every single contract has in WWE, at least fictitious contract, right? That every title holder that loses gets an automatic rematch. So there's at least two matches left, I think, here. And with all of that praise, the one thing on SmackDown Live that really just was a little take me out of the moment here. Number one, I appreciate that Joe went to AJ Styles' home. I love his whole shtick about, oh, Wendy. I love all of that. I love him being the creeper, the stalker, going to AJ's home, even though I don't think he has the Styles name on his mailbox. We'll let that go. Okay. I like that he is just becoming that DDP. If you guys remember back in 2002, if I'm not mistaken, when DDP was stalking the Undertaker's wife in the parking lot, even abducted her at one point. I like it. I like that Joe is doing this. It's genuinely creepy. And I just have a problem with the way it was delivered on SmackDown Live in terms of AJ's end. Number one, how are we supposed to believe that that was a live segment? We can't. Number one, AJ Styles was just saying generic things. His heart wasn't in it. You could tell he was repeating lines. It didn't feel genuine. AJ Styles was just kind of saying things that Joe wasn't directly responding to, which immediately tells you that it's not a live segment, that it was pre-recorded. On top of that, you have Samoa Joe with his phone, clearly on the selfie camera, that was shown more than once in the reflection of the doorway of AJ's home. Well, quote, AJ's home. So it took me out of the moment that this was a pre-recorded segment. Okay, we take it as a pre-recorded segment. Then it makes AJ Styles look like a fool to believe that this was a live segment. On top of the fact that if this was pre-recorded, why was the production team not notifying AJ Styles that they received this video footage from Samoa Joe instead waiting to show him hours later at the end of the show when AJ was out in the middle of the ring? So just lots of little things. I don't like to nitpick here. Well, you know what? Sometimes I do, damn it. But this is not really a nitpick. It's very obvious that AJ was not really believable in his, Joe, don't you go in there. Damn it, Joe. No, don't, Joe, don't go in there. Please, Joe, I'm begging. It just didn't feel real. It was almost, AJ didn't hold up his end of the acting skills on Tuesday night. Boy, where did Thursday night come from? Thursday used to be Thursday night SmackDown. But it just didn't have that grasping moment. Joe did a great job, but the production and delivery of it took me out of the moment with him seeing the reflection of the camera several times. And AJ Styles is not really believable lines that he delivered. So outside of that, though, I'm enjoying the program. I know I keep saying I expect Samoa Joe to take the championship, and I still do. I still believe that they will put the belt on Joe. I know I said that at Hell in a Cell, but maybe they do it in Saudi Arabia. You know, maybe they do, or maybe their 40th pay-per-view they got coming up, a Crown Jewel, or whatever the next scheduled pay-per-view is. I mean, we're coming up on, what, Night of Champions and then Survivor Series, right? So there is a point that's going to, I think, a breaking point with this feud that I believe Joe will end up with the belt, and I really do believe he would be an awesome heel champion. I've said that before. I'll say it again. Joe has the believability. He has the credibility. Joe would be an awesome champion, a heel champion, nasty. And this whole logic, though, of there must be a winner from Paige between AJ Styles and Samoa Joe just doesn't make sense, because there was a winner in AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe at Hell in a Cell. It was a very clear-cut winner. Yes, AJ tapped and the referee didn't see it, but it's not as if this disqualification match it's not logical as the next step, because that is not what deterred them from having a clear winner in the Hell in a Cell match. So, all right, guys, just a quick note here. If you hear any noise in the background, that's my son. He is talking to himself. So I do apologize. I'm going to try to talk over it, but if that's what you hear, that's what it is. So another little tidbit here, and I want to just say, is the SmackDown Live Women's Division. I'm still enjoying Becky Lynch. I think that WWE has kind of resigned itself to try to get her to be booed. I don't think it's happening. It's been a consistent across-the-board support for Becky Lynch. Week after week after week, I expect her to still remain women's champion as we go into the next couple of months. I'm looking forward to her versus Charlotte again, which is fine with me. And I expect a long reign out of Becky, and we'll see what's going on. I mean, the other thing too about the women's division is Carmella with R-Truth. Now, I have been conditioned to dislike Carmella for so long that it's hard for me to really get used to and adapt to this new persona. Okay, she changed her hair color, so there you go. There's some visual changes that we have. She's now associated with R-Truth, who's this kind of beloved but not taken too seriously, slightly comedic act of R-Truth. I think he's been sadly underused over the past decade in WWE, but that's another conversation for another day. But I still believe that it's just going to take me some time to really get behind Carmella after everything that I know that she's done. But, you know, look, I think that they have good chemistry. I'm willing to roll with it. It's just an adjustment for me right now to believe that I'm supposed to cheer for her because she does 7-second dance breaks. I mean, right now it's a little campy for me. I'm not really on board yet. Not to say I won't be, but it's just a big adjustment to just suddenly switch Carmella for no reason because she changed her hairstyle and is now with R-Truth. But let's move along. So one thing I do want to touch on too is this whole, and guys, this is a rant warning, but it's warranted, and I don't care if anybody gets offended. I really, truly don't, because if you get offended by this, you're not listening. And let me preface this, and I've said this before, but the reason I'm saying it again is because it continues to be a part of WWE's programming, and not just because it's a part of the programming, but because it's a priority part of the programming. It is the message of this is more important than the wrestling product that we are putting on television. And that is the Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, Connor's Cure crap segment. And I'm happy for the two kids that got to live their dream, but I am tired of Stephanie and Triple H coming in, showing up privileged, that they are just able to go in as nasty heels, get out of the limo, go in the ring and be this wonderful outlook on a lovable company of WWE, this philanthropy idea, and tell everybody what great things they're supporting, and then go back to being nasty. It just doesn't. It really actually pisses me off. And you may say, man, don't take it too seriously. No, I'm watching a wrestling product to watch wrestling. And it's almost as if the company doesn't respect itself for what it is. And that's a wrestling company. Unfortunately, WWE has been saturated and poisoned by WWE or the sponsors of WWE. They have poisoned the minds. Society has poisoned the mind of Stephanie and Triple H and other upper management of WWE. And they are now more concerned about how WWE looks, what they're supporting, and what can we show the public that we are doing on air every single week that makes everybody feel great, that makes everybody want to smile, and just takes the product that they just watched for an hour and flush it down the toilet to make sure that everybody knows that all the wrestlers they see on TV are just characters. So we're going to allow these kids to be characters and have wrestling personas. It's garbage. You have Stephanie McMahon out there just talking about how Connor's cure is the greatest thing since curing cancer. I mean, no pun intended, but that's the best analogy I can come up with at this point. And it's fuming, because then I'm supposed to just what? Take a break from the product that I'm watching and then go back to believing that the product I was watching is now real. It's very difficult to disconnect yourself from that. And it just angers me as a fan, as a 20-year fan, that WWE and Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, which is unbelievable because he was part of the best era in wrestling history and he knows what works, but I think he's been corporately brainwashed to be more concerned about having thousands of video packages about all the wrestlers just out of character, just shaking kids and kissing kids and holding kids and high-fiving kids and saying how brave all these kids are and talking about how cool their wrestling personas that they made up are. It's embarrassing. Yeah, it's embarrassing to be a fan of wrestling when this crap comes on. This garbage, this self-serving crap that takes me out of the moment, and everyone can say it's about sick kids. You know what? If you want to really be a supporter of those causes, I have no problem with it. I think it is an extremely worthwhile cause. I am not saying that wrestling is more important than a kid with cancer and making sure that he gets well and fulfills his wishes. What I'm saying is WWE's purpose for this week after week is it's self-serving, it's transparent, it is killing the product, killing the product when you have all the wrestlers who were just in a program yelling at each other, want to rip each other's heads off, are standing side by side on the stage clapping for all these kids. I don't even have words for how just angry this makes me. And it is about the kids, but if you want to really support it, don't do it because you know the cameras are on. Do it because you actually want to do it. And if you did have a true purpose for it, you wouldn't do it every single time the cameras are on to make sure that all the sponsors see it and all the parents see it, to make sure that this is such a family-friendly, cartoonish show that they want to make sure that it is seen by every single person who watches WWE. It's getting more frequent. It's awful. It's awful. And I don't care what anybody thinks that oh my, this guy's a jerk. He really thinks that this is more important than kids being cured with cancer. You know what? In some respects, for an on-air product, yes. Yes, it is. And the reason I say it is on air, not in real life, is because I'm watching a wrestling product to be immersed in a fantasy world where anything can happen. It's physical. It's sometimes a little bit edgy. I know we're PG now, but something that I can really emotionally invest in. And I can't do that with Stephanie McMahon's awful, cannibalizing ideology that everything's about philanthropy, everything's about making sure the public sees them as this soft, family-friendly, hug each other, sing around a fire, feeling company every single time I turn around. And she always has to be the face of whatever warm, cuddly crap they're doing. And it's awful. She has a profile that comes out and says, I play a bad guy on TV. And her logic may be, if you sat her down, well, everybody knows that it's not real. This is more important. Oh, really? I don't think WWE is running from their own identity. What makes them successful is being a wrestling company. And my God, that must make Kevin Dunn cringe, because he runs from wrestling every chance he gets and makes sure that it's all about TV production and entertainment. It's crap. What made wrestling work was, I don't know, wrestling. I don't watch a wrestling show to make to soften what I just saw by a believable segment, to see Stephanie McMahon out there with kids making everybody feel great about what they're doing. It's like, go F yourself. I mean, that's how I feel at this point. I'm not going to stop being a wrestling fan. I will be a wrestling fan for the rest of my life. But this is getting out of hand. It is taking up so much time, and it's awful. It is awful. So I just wanted to get that out there and really vent about this, because I'm so passionate about it, because it's getting under my skin. It makes me want to come through the screen. And you know what? And I put this on Twitter. You know what would make someone instantly, I said heel at the time, but instantly the biggest babyface on the roster? Interrupting one of these segments and maybe, I don't know, hitting their finishing maneuver on whoever the spokesman is. I think initially it would be a heel move, but if this continues, I don't know how the crowds don't start booing this crap. I would, at the events, and people would probably turn and be like, what's wrong with you? I'm here to watch wrestling, jerk. I mean, really, that's what this is about. I don't sit there and watch, I don't watch baseball to see how much money they've donated to the V Foundation or American Cancer Society. I watch baseball to watch baseball or football. It is just the most stomach-churning, self-serving, and cannibalizing your own product at the same time crap that I am really, I don't even know what to do at this point. I mean, I'm sure that WWE is extremely concerned about my opinion here, but that's how I feel, and I'm at my breaking point with it. I mean, this is the only platform that I have to voice my opinion, and it seems that if the crowds continue to just clap and cheer at these, I want a 20,000 strong to somehow get the balls to boo one of these segments out of the building like it was Roman Reigns the night after WrestleMania 32 or 33 when he beat The Undertaker. I would, if I could pay everybody $10 to do that at that event, I would love to see WWE's reaction. Just everybody, every time they put a self-serving hospital, whatever, segment on the screen or whatever, just boo it out of the building. And I'd love to see the reaction to that nonetheless. All right. Well, with that said, guys, I know this is super short, but my child is, you can probably hear me. He's hear that. Yeah. That's what I have to go tend to. Trust me, I would love to stay and chat with you guys a little more. I know that many of you have asked if I can have longer shows. I'm trying to figure out a way to do this. I'm trying to figure out a schedule where I can find 45 minutes to really just get into Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. But trust me, I'm still watching, and I know we have a show coming up in 6 days. So, then we can move on to the other 40 shows that WWE's promoting at the same time. So, all right, guys. Well, that's all I got to say right now. Please follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Anywhere you guys have podcasts, please rate and review me. All right, guys. Until next time, I'll talk to you soon.